Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I'm slightly nervous.
Why is that?
Because I've got a WrestleTalk Get Better for you.
What? Well, from, a personal one.
From moi. So like I said yesterday, I'm back in the game after having a mental no-compete clause from the old studio. We're in the new studio. I feel like I can start doing things again in my home and personal life as opposed to just work. And one of these things is going back to the gym and stuff. So we've moved to the new studio. I tried out a new gym on Monday. It was rubbish. It was just a corridor of treadmills. So I found this other one. I get in touch with them and I'm like, you know, can I come along for a whatever? Because it says get in touch. They don't just let you come along. And that they got back and they were like, yeah, sure. Actually, we've got a 10-day free challenge, which includes two personal training sessions and three classes showcasing like their whole thing. And it's starting like this week.
That only has up to five, though.
Well, yeah, but it's 10 days of them being free.
Right. So you spread out those five things across 10 days.
Yeah, so once every 2 days. I'm going to want to... Yeah, I mean, you could work out every day, but...
Yeah.
Well, you need WWE recovery, man. So this happens. And I'm like, oh, my buddy Luke might be interested in what as well. So I got in touch about my buddy Luke. And then I'm recounting this email to... Because I said, with your permission, because I had to give like, you know, I did go to the gym a fair bit, but then I had a three-month break, but I'm training for a marathon in April. And I thought I'd better give some background on Luke. I said, well, you said you're a beginner.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. I know, I can spell gym. If I saw one, I'd know what it is.
So I say that. I said, Luke's more of a beginner. And they got back to me and said, thank you for getting back to me. It would be great to have you and Luke on board. Beginners are more than welcome. We have clients ranging from first-timers, NHS nurses, right through to athletes.
What's the difference between a first-timer and an NHS nurse?
I don't know.
That's a really weird thing. First-timers, nurses.
Maybe he was right in the email, looked around like, what else do we have? Oh, there's an NHS nurse right there. NHS nurses, lamps. Thankfully, we only have one smark in our community, which happens to be me. And I tell my girlfriend this. As soon as I said smark, I was like, wait a second. Do you know what smark is, Anna? And she went, only because of you. I've never heard that used anywhere else before. And I was thinking, smart mark. No, that's only a wrestling thing.
Yeah. He knows who you are. And because I'm assuming you've sent it from your WrestleTalk email.
No,
as
it's
well.
My personal one, but I think that still has... It still has the WrestleTalk stamp, yeah. So... I'm going at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, it's funny as well. So like last night I was playing Dungeons and Dragons and you sent me a text message with like the times that this guy is available for like a consultancy thing. And this is so funny. This is so typical of me, really. You said to me yesterday, would you like to do this? And I went, yeah, that sounds like it's a good idea. It'd be good to go down and see what the gym is like. Maybe it'd be part of WrestleTalk Get Better. I'm well up for this. As soon as you sent me that text with timings, I was like, not doing it.
Oh, really?
I was like, nah, I'm not. It's too much admin, and now I'm backing out of it.
It's round the corner.
I know, but as soon as I saw timings, I was like, it's too much admin.
Ah, come on. Well, look at all those times.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of them is that I haven't got my gym gear today.
What you can do tomorrow?
I don't
want
to do tomorrow.
Six
it's
or
5 o'clock,
mate.
We're finishing at 4. I'm not hanging around for an extra hour just to go down to the
what
gym.
What do you think our working days are? 9 to 5.
You said you want to finish at 4.
When we do Raw and SmackDown in the mornings.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got to get forward
to
next.
How many times do I have to tell you the new working hours?
Yeah, probably one more time. And actually, I've got to get up and watch NXT tomorrow, so I've still got to get up early and watch shows and take notes.
You can watch that in house, matey.
I know.
You don't want to do it.
No, I probably do, but it's just like as soon as I've seen timings, I'm less interested. But I can't do those ones tomorrow, so I'll have to say.
Can you definitely not do them?
Well, I've got to go.
Not want to
no, I've got to go home and do some housework as well. Because now I've got your drill bits, I've got to go and like put up a shelf.
There's no. You can have the drill bits for a bit longer if that means you can start
not,
get better.
But I'm not around this weekend, and I want to get them done soon because we've got a deadline of when we want to have the house done, and it's like the end of November. So we're like, I'm crunch. I've got to try and maximize my hours.
I think the Swef Nation should be the judge on whether Luke is worming out of this.
I mean, it's not much of a debate. I am very much going to worm my way out of this.
What if I come in tomorrow and I'm jacked, baby? Like, just out of nowhere, I look like Scott Steiner with my head.
Well,
I'll go along.
No, it'd be terrifying. Also, I would never want to look like that. How weird would it look if I looked a bit like... If I looked even slightly in shape, I think I would look weird. I've got a body type. I've got a pudgy dad bod body type that very much suits me. I think if I started to look jacked, I would just look weird.
Think of all the Swaff Nation members who probably once thought that and then embarked on their own journeys of getting fitter or whatever.
I also have the worry that my wife will start to find me less attractive if I started to get a little bit fit and in shape.
I mean, I don't think you should... Generally... Fitter people are more attractive.
Oh, that's a terrible statement. I can't believe you said that on a public podcast.
But everyone knows it.
Oh, that is a terrible thing to say, Ollie Davis. You should be ashamed of yourself for body shaming people like that.
Why does everyone want to get fit then? That's what all advertisements are based on.
Yeah, I know. And isn't that terrible? Isn't that an awful world we live in where they're so focused on body image
generally,
and shaming people? Shaming people.
You will not find a bigger fan of the fuller woman than I.
What is wrong with just being healthy? No, it's all about getting jacked, man.
But what do you think fit means? Fit means healthy.
I know, but you're talking about you're talking about walking in and being jacked.
As a joke.
Well,
I don't think it came across
Scott Steiner. I don't think it came across as a joke. I think you're just body shaming all those people that have been emailing us, and you're just body shaming every single one of them.
I want to get to the Scott Steiner level, and then I can come back a bit. I just want to get that to that point, and then I can ease off.
When you see newspapers talking about body shaming adverts, you're on the side of the adverts. You're on the side of the corporations going like, yeah, Beachbody is a thing, and we should all be it.
The Swaff Nation knows that Luke is throwing smoke over him worming out of this.
Because you said some terrible things. Would you like an Agony Art update?
Sure.
And they have given permission to say out their first name,
ooh,
Adam. So, hiya Luke and Ollie. Remember me? I'm the guy who was worried about his A-levels and was thinking about becoming a wrestler. Well, my worries were correct and I only got a D in maths. I think we've already done this email as well because Google has once again put an email back into my inbox after I've deleted
that.
It.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
It's like, you want to follow this up? Bloop. And then puts it right to the top. Oh, I think you can disable that.
I may have to. Well, that's annoying because now I had that set up to read out. I was like, that's a really lovely short Agony Ant. And the first thing it said was, remember me. And I was like, oh, brilliant. We can read this one out then.
I don't remember what happened.
I believe he did okay and he got into his college.
Oh, he just said he got a D though.
Yeah, I know. But even though he got he was able to get in and everything fine. I do have another Agony Ant request though. This one does come from Vacant. Hi, Luke and Ollie. I'd like to stay anonymous. I've just joined high school recently after getting a schedule change. I walked into a class and there was this girl. Insert generic, she's cute and I'm crushing on her stuff.
I bet she's fit.
I have one friend who knows about this and we're kind of, well, hello. I have one friend about this, and we're kind of stalking her. And they have put this in quotation marks. I just need to know what to do. First things first, don't stalk her. Before you answer this, I'd like to know that I don't think what I've done is wrong. Anyways, what? I don't think I can take a no, but I don't want to wait any longer to talk about this. P.S. She doesn't know me very well. We just kind of talk about homework, etc. Please, guys. Please, spell PLZ. Help, guys. Ask Laurie if he can, too. Keep up the good work. Love you, guys.
Okay, so the problem here is this chap, Adam. No, not Adam.
No,
this
is anonymous, yeah.
Vacant fancies a girl in their class.
Mm-hmm.
And
they start stalking them.
Yeah, hopefully stalking's used in the looser, jokier sense rather than I'm ringing her up at
or just going 1 through there, going through her Facebook profile and looking at all the images, hoping that you don't accidentally like one of them.
Yeah,
and show your hand
or Samoa Joe style turning up at the house.
Daddy's home.
Ooh, Andy. the best advice is to like talk to her. And try and be more friendly with her without getting friend-zoned. It's difficult. You haven't given us much to go on there. I wouldn't stalk her, though. I would try and be, you know, like how a normal person would act.
Yeah, and I don't like this term, I don't want to wait too long to talk about this. Like, that makes it sound like you want to very much get into a relationship with her right away.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, let's take time. Let's not try and just jump headfirst into these sorts of things.
You said she doesn't know you, so by extension, you don't really know her either. So
yeah.
Maybe she's, you know, it's not all about how someone looks. You've got to have a more connection on a personality level.
Absolutely. And I did ask Laurie about this as well, and his advice was, if you are going to use the word please, spell it correctly. Don't use P-L-Z. But thank you very much for your email. Regardless, I like as well, you know, they've got the new version of Gmail. It's giving you some options of how to reply, like an automatic reply thing. One of them is got it, the other one is I agree with you, and the third option is I'm so proud of you. Well, we are going to be talking about the Aiden English, Rusev and Lana segment from last night's SmackDown Live to kick off this show, and then we've got the full review, including that terrific Becky Lynch versus Charlotte match. Here is the show.
For the meantime, Rusev and Lana's latest chapter in One Night in Milwaukee.
You say it's the latest chapter, but I mean, really, this was the final chapter in the One Night in Milwaukee saga.
I guess so, yep. As a book of the larger Rusev Day feud,
yes.
Written by the authors of Pain, they write all the mm-hmm. grand epics of WWE continuity.
I mean, if you're going to go to anyone, that's who you would go to.
Yeah. Published authors. And this is like one chapter, I suppose. The One Night in Milwaukee chapter.
Yeah.
And then the next chapter will be when they actually have a match.
Yeah, but it's a question of when that's going to happen. Because I've got to be honest, I'm slightly disappointed One Night in Milwaukee is over. Because I was really enjoying it for the last few weeks, and I felt like there was more that could have been milked from this video. Considering that, like, I suppose the next opportunity for them to have like a match that's on a big grand scale, because you don't want to, you can't just do this on a random episode of SmackDown. So you could do a match next week, but they haven't announced one, and they're probably not going to have a match at Crown Jewel, which means that the next time you can really have an opportunity for them to have like a match on a pay-per-view, even if it's on the pre-show, is Survivor Series, which is the end of November.
It's weird because, you know, you've got the World Cup qualifiers for Crown Jewel. Rusev, he's a nationality character.
Problem is that he wasn't popular in 2005, so he's not allowed to be part of the tournament.
You can just say he was. Yeah, don't you remember Rusev, the big Bulgarian guy?
Yeah.
And then, like, you could also just say, he's English. and make Aiden do an English accent
for a bit.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying, yeah.
And he could represent...
Mm-hmm.
At British Isles.
Absolutely, yeah. So it just seems weird to kind of like pull the plug on this so soon into it, especially because, like, you remember when Aiden English a couple of weeks ago did, like, you remember that One Night in Milwaukee, and everyone was like, oh, what is this One Night? And then last week he showed the video clip and I was like, oh wow, you and I were like, I loved it.
Yes,
but, you know, we both
love that soap opera stuff,
really enjoyed it. And then this week it was like, and that's over.
So you would have wanted like maybe a few weeks of clips of English in negotiations with TMZ and
yes,
sites
absolutely.
Like that.
And you could have, where was any scene of Lana trying to plead with Rusev that there's more to the tape, there's more to this than meets the eye? Like, all of that drama was just squandered and just gone. Because essentially, Aiden English came out to show the director's cut of One Night in Milwaukee, which had more footage than we'd previously seen.
Yes.
And he started airing it, and it was the same one we saw last week. However, Lana finished her sentence when she said, "I want you," and it was like, dot, 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 to know how important you are to Rusev, and he loves the way you sing his theme songs. And it was like, oh, that's quite a nice, sweet moment. And then Aiden English steps forward, and he puts his arm, or he puts his hand onto Lana's arm in quite a provocative manner.
Yeah, he angles himself.
Yep, and then the tape cuts again, and you're like, oh, brilliant, that's even more intrigue. Let's spray this out a little bit further. And then, no, Lana and Rusev came out, and were like, we hacked your phone, we've got the whole tape, here's the whole tape. And Lana was like, nope. And she walks out of the room. And that's it. And that's the whole thing gone, squandered.
I didn't hate it.
But
you're
either.
Right, it left a lot on the table.
Yeah.
Also, the whole, we easily hacked into your phone. I was just like, what, since when? She said the password was I heart Rusev, so it doesn't seem like Aiden English is that up on internet security.
But that's not exactly like...
But it doesn't explain things.
And also, that's not really like... That wouldn't be the first password I'd have tried. I heart Rusev.
It'd been like, English is the best.
Yeah, Rusev Day.
Aiden number one.
Yeah, if the password was Rusev Day, then I would have completely bought that. But I heart Rusev is not the... It could have had capital letters, it could have had numbers in there.
Yeah, that's a special character.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it's a lazy payoff. A lazy way to... to give Lana and Rusev a way to reveal the truth.
And there's a real
shame. But she is Russian, is what I thought.
But is she? That's the question. There was particularly, I thought there was a moment in this that really, you could have extended out further. I feel like I'm sort of flogging a dead horse at this point in my point. But there was a moment when Aiden said, look, I'm going to destroy the tape. We don't have to watch all of this because I love you. You're my friend. I don't want to show you this. No one really wants to see this video. All I'm asking you to do is kick Lana to the curb. Come back. We'll reform Rusev Day. What the crowd absolutely want. The crowd start chanting Rusev Day. And there's a moment when Rusev almost starts walking towards Aiden. He sort of turns to look at Lana and is like, this is great. And then, it's done and it's over.
Yeah.
And we now know that Aiden was lying, even though we all knew that all along. And Rusev charges down and chases him away. I don't know. It was good. And I thought the payoff was sort of good. It just feels a bit anticlimactic because it came so soon.
I don't think WWE was ever going to make this not anticlimactic. Because it was so much...
I think they really were pacing this quite well.
Yeah, but they never had a good reveal to this. I'm just basing this on all of WWE's storylines like this from the last decade.
Yeah.
It was either this or Jason Jordan was going to turn out to be someone's son. I agree with you. The potential was lost. But I do really like how this plays into Aiden's character. And I hope they capitalize on that part of the storyline at least. And that's, you've got this really nice beat where Aiden, his best friend Rusev, he makes a play at his wife. And that is kind of... I mean, in my head, that's what's fueled his heel turn on Rusev. Mm. That he was rejected and he felt humiliated. And maybe this has been bubbling from a couple of months ago. And then you start to think, well, why didn't Lana tell Rusev about this? And you're like, well, because Lana doesn't want to break up these two best buddies. Maybe it was just an innocent mistake.
But she did want to break them up, though.
Not in the last couple of...
Yeah, that was her whole thing. As soon as she came back and had the Happy Lana Day
T-shirt. But that was dropped.
Oh, yes.
But continuity-wise,
it makes no sense.
So maybe that's when this did happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying. I'm trying to make this into a better story.
Yes.
I thought it ended in a killer line, though.
Oh, this line was... This was line of the night.
So they play the full tape, and English has been exposed. And he says, well, it's... that the offer's still on the table, and if you ever get bored of Rusev Days, come have some Aiden Nights.
Great line.
And then he runs out of there when Rusev goes for him.
That was a killer line.
So
really
great. I mean, it's shifted gears. I understand a bit too early for our tastes, but it shifted gears now from this soap opera fun into blood feud fighting over a man's wife.
Yes. Although, interestingly... I say interestingly, that's a strong word. There was a WWE.com exclusive video, and the only reason I know this is because it was shared on our Discord server, come chit-chat with us, links in the video description below, that Lana has found a new best friend backstage in Carmella.
Of course she has.
And it was seeming like they were like in the locker room area. It was also with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville and the Iconics. And it almost felt like, I mean, I haven't watched the video, I only looked at the thumbnail and someone said they found a new friend. It almost feels like they were setting up Lana and Carmella as another new tag team on SmackDown.
It feels like, from this video I haven't watched, that and, this is where they're going.
And what I've been told about the video is that they are now like the best of friends.
Well, that, you know, that makes sense if the tag team division is on the table still. That guy who makes belts, he said that they've made belts for it.
And it was, like, what he said as well is that these belts are going to be defended across SmackDown, Raw, NXT and NXT UK.
That's pretty cool.
Which is, I think that's really cool. I'm really, really behind that idea.
But to me, that says the Bellas are winning it then. Because Brie is the only dual brand character, performer, apart from John Cena.
Yeah. And Rey Mysterio, perhaps, as well, because apparently there hasn't been a decision made on which brand he's going to. He is wrestling on SmackDown next week, but there isn't a defined brand for him to go to yet. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Just before before we get into the full review, we have the results of yesterday's poll.
Yes, we did.
We actually
remembered to put the poll in as well. And I only remembered because I was going through getting the timestamps and I just heard a glimpse of us saying, we should remember to put a poll in. And I was like, oh yeah, the poll!
I think we should make this a more regular thing.
Yeah?
In the news, we call it the Wrestle Talk question on a poll match.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's question on a poll match was, which Kurt Angle is better? Gold Gimp Kurt from yesterday's episode of Raw, or Monday's rather, or Shield Dad Kurt when he briefly joined the Shield at last year's TLC. What a competition.
My favourite image of that was when... you got one of your hairs stuck on your beard.
Cheers,
there.
Babe.
One of my favourite images of that was... You know when Triple H was part of the Shield for that one house show they did in the UK?
Yep.
And it was like he was in Field Shield getup as well. And they posted the two images side by side and it was like dad versus stepdad.
Of the over 1,000 of you voted.
Thanks, guys.
And 84% went for Gold Gimp Kurt.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, really, doesn't it? Absolutely.
Much sexier.
Conquistador Kurt was much sexier than Shield Dad Kurt.
He very disturbingly shared on Instagram. Have you seen this?
I saw this, yeah.
That he said that he's taken the Gold Gimp suit home for some fun times with his wifey.
Hmm. I mean, I don't like the term wifey. That makes me feel
That's what's got you a little bit uncomfortable.
That made
there.
Me feel a bit queasy.
It's that he then posted a picture of just his face in it, looking like a F-boy, and then he's got the suit laid out on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist. Yep. Maybe he feels at home with the gold.
Love gold.
Oh, I love gold so much.
Yeah, but don't call your wife your wifey. It's a bit gross.
You're my work wifey.
You know, I'm your work wife. Okay. Let's just get that out there now. I do not like the term wifey.
All right, wifey.
Same way I don't like the term hubby.
We will think of another question.
It will come to us while we do this.
We'll figure it out. So look out for it.
But this show kicked off right away with the SmackDown Women's Championship rematch between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, with the added stipulation that if Becky gets DQ'd, she will lose the title. When I say right away, Becky Lynch's music was playing while both of them were in the ring. It literally was like Todd Phillips comes on and was like, everyone, it's SmackDown Live. Whoa. And they were in the ring and they were like, ding, 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 let's start this match. So it really was like, and this took up then the next sort of 25, 30 minutes of TV time. And it was terrific.
I loved it.
Loved all of this.
And usually I'm not a fan of having rematches a couple of days after your pay-per-view match. But you know, to be honest, over the last couple of days, WWE has delivered on it. All the Raw rematches were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You got for the Rousey Bella's heel turn, if nothing else for that one. And the main event was terrific yesterday.
And Brie Bella using her telekinesis.
Yes, her special powers. But this one, I thought this was the best of the bunch. Becky Lynch and Charlotte, with that stipulation that actually logically ties into the last one. And the story of the match was so good. It was based around Charlotte obviously going for the arm. Charlotte going for the leg, to set up the figure eight later on. And Becky going for the arm to set up the disarmer. A very submission-based strategy from both people.
Yep.
And that they've done this story before, but I do not get tired of it. Because I love submission-based wrestling. And then it gets to the same point where Becky walks out. She takes the title with her. She teases using the title. The referee stops her because, you know, the no DQ stipulation. And then there's this amazing sequence of near countouts.
Yeah, it was really, really smart.
Yeah.
It was really nice. And it was what I liked about this as well is that it was really setting up this idea that Charlotte had the match won on several occasions, but Becky was always smart enough to roll to the outside and kind of regroup and I'm not getting pinned here, I'm going to roll to the outside. And that's what then set up the pair of them getting counted out right at the end, which, you know, might seem like a bit of a lame finish, but it sets up the match they're going to have for its evolution. Neither girl really loses. That's absolutely fine. And then you had the killer angle at the end of it.
Well, I thought... So this sequence of near countouts was so good where, Charlotte gets hit by a Bexploder suplex outside. She almost makes it in at 9, but Becky runs out and they brawl. Charlotte hits her. That I thought, oh, they're doing all these almost fake finishes, so when they do a real finish, it's going to be amazing.
Mm.
A real finish inside the ring, I mean. I didn't think... The way they were setting it up, I thought it was too obvious to do a countout.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And then when they did the countout, I was like, I mean, it isn't a pay-per-view, but this was such a good match. I'm a bit disappointed. But the angle afterwards was so good that it more than made up for it. And this is like a beautiful example of a TV installment of a wrestling feud. You know, it delivers on the wrestling side, and you smartly book around the lack of a proper finish to protect both ladies or men, human beings, wrestlers, sports entertainers. And you keep that pot bubbling for a rematch. And
that's, yeah.
You know, you always want to be building to make people want to see something else. And the angle was Becky's walking away, Charlotte's flopping around everywhere, and she runs up the ramp and spears Becky through the LED screen right at the top of the stage. It looked terrific. It couldn't have looked more perfect.
Yeah. It was like Chris Jericho versus Rhino at a SummerSlam 2001. It might not be SummerSlam. It might have been the pay-per-view afterwards. But either way, that was like Rhino like gored Chris Jericho through the SmackDown sign. It was really, really yeah. awesome. That's what this felt like as well. And it really did like collapse perfectly, like it was set up to do so. And it would just look... I know, right? But it looked really cool, and they really played this up. And it looks like Charlotte's got her hand caught, because I was re-watching again while I was getting images for the review. And it took her a long time to get out. And when she came up, she had blood all down her arm.
Was it blood?
Yeah, it was blood. In fact, all the images on the website are all in black and white.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I thought I ran down. Charlotte's selling of her arm was awesome. Because she's like screaming.
Yeah.
She's like, ah! And it looked like... You know, it looked like the way she was holding it looked like she'd broken her arm.
Yeah.
But if that's a real injury.
Yeah, that's why they were talking about she's cleared to wrestle for Mixed Match Challenge later on. She did wrestle, she teamed with AJ Styles to face someone, another team. I don't know what that team was.
Yeah, I was a bit down on it. I thought, you know, just, you've been given something here. Just have a one-week replacement. No one's going to be like, oh, I've really been cheated out of that Mixed Match Challenge match. God, I was looking forward to that. I really follow that and take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow it, fine, but what's the point of caring about any results or who wrestles?
Yeah.
So, like, if something like that happens, just take advantage of it. Say, we've had to pull her from this and replace her with this person. And that only fuels the Lynch and Charlotte rivalry. But that's a minor nitpick. Overall, the backstage officials were like running immediately in to check on both women.
Yeah.
A really good match with a smart, spectacular finish. Loved it.
And then Paige announced later in the night that it's going to be a last woman standing, the first ever last woman standing match in WWE history at Evolution. So this is really fun as well, because it's the last time they're ever facing each other in a last woman standing, in the first ever last woman standing at the first ever all women's pay-per-view.
Yeah, it does become a bit convoluted when WWE try to promote everything as historic.
Yeah.
Or being a milestone.
Paige here. Speaking of which, and I like Todd Phillips. I think Todd Phillips is a fine, bland commentator. He says words, and those words carry through a microphone, and you can easily tune them out. It's just, it's white noise. He's like a less offensive Michael Cole.
When I'm feeling anxious sometimes, I just isolate his commentary, and I put it on, and then I can fall asleep easier.
Yeah.
Because it's a din, isn't it?
That just absolutely
wafts you to sleep.
And that's not me throwing shade at Todd Phillips. He's very good at being bland. Like, that's his role.
Well,
his
done.
Role is not to have a personality, and he does that very, very well. However, I took a lot of issue with Todd Phillips on this show tonight, because how many times did he say, it's the World Cup tournament is to determine the best in the world? He said that sentence probably about 10,000 times, and then, like, we are half an hour into this show, he has said Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, Big Show, Randy Orton, and The Miz are, quote, the best ever on SmackDown Live. And he said it again later for Rey Mysterio. It's every single person who had a match. Oh, they're among the best on SmackDown Live. These are among the best ever on SmackDown Live. They're among the greats of SmackDown Live. Like, well, if everyone's among the greats, then everyone's just the same.
Yeah. But if you're the Saudi prince watching WWE television for the first time in 15 years, then you're probably like, wow.
Yeah. Do you think that's what all the video packages were for?
This is a golden age. Of course it is. Like, I loved the video packages.
They were great.
So throughout the night, they had pretty much everyone who came out for something had a video package. And it made them feel big time. It gave you an insight into their character.
Yeah.
It showed their cool movesets.
More of that.
It gave
loved
them,
it.
Like, this is a babyface. This is an enigmatic person. This is Samoa Joe. Be scared right away. Like, yes, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's just, I wish they would, it was very transparent to me that this was to educate the Saudi crown prince.
It's interesting because I never picked up on that because really? I just assumed that the Saudi prince goes to the WWE network and does the filter to no more than 1999. Like, he doesn't want to go any further than that and just watches any pay-per-views that come up.
Well, but on the long, that's the official name for the Crown Jewel World Cup.
Is the World Cup Crown? Is the World Cup at Crown Jewel to determine who is the best in the world?
Yeah, yeah. WWE at the start.
Oh, okay, yeah. And really, Crown it Jewel does look like to be who is the best in the world from 2005.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Undertaker is going to be at SmackDown 1000. It's already announced, but it was a video package. I thought this was a very interestingly structured show, and they've been doing this for about a month, 2 months now, where someone will come out and then they'll run a video package, maybe even go to a commercial break, have a backstage skit, and then go to the ring. Mm-hmm. And you're like, this wrestler's been standing here for about 5 minutes.
But you know what it's like as well, because we've been to a taping live when they did Raw earlier this year. They just bring all the house lights down. Yeah. So that wrestler ends up standing there in the dark.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dark match with themselves. Or if you're No Way Jose, they just play it forever and they just keep doing the dark.
Where's he been?
Hopefully not near my television screen.
I don't watch it, so I don't even read what happens. I don't even know if he's been on Main Event. Mm. And if you're not even able to get on Main Event, then there's something up, mate.
But I think this is quite a smart way. I wouldn't do it. I would keep it a bit more classical in that you have the wrestler entrance and you make the wrestler feel special. But I on paper, I recognise that WWE are trying to find a more engaging, fast-paced format for their shows. And to do so, they probably figure, people like the start of the entrance. But then there is like a couple of minutes where they're just walking around. So you set up that as spinning, and then you do a video package, and then you do a backstage skit. I don't mind it.
Hey, man, it's the Twitter and Instagram generation where, like, as soon as you're bored, you're picking up your phone, you start flicking through, trying to click refresh and stuff. So you've got to try and, like, distract them long enough that they're not picking up their phones, although they actually want you to go on Twitter and, like, join in the conversation with hashtag whatever the match is.
Yeah, they want you to watch this, but they also want you to look at your phone.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to do for WrestleRamble. That's how we keep engagement up, is we start a hashtag and ask you to get involved in the conversation.
Stop watching us and comment. That would actually be very good for the YouTube algorithm. So,
although in fairness, I'm almost certain 99% of comments are left before the video is even watched.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
They're our favourite ones.
Yeah.
Then we got Jeff Hardy versus Samoa Joe. And this, we got the video packages, sort of recapping each guy's character. Jeff Hardy was the first one, and he did the usual, the adrenaline coursing through my veins.
Was he Triple H?
I don't care.
Is that your Jeff Hardy voice?
Kind of. And this was where I was like, but Jeff Hardy's been around for ages.
Yeah, he's definitely winning here.
Why is he getting a video package?
Oh, okay. I was like, well, he's definitely winning here.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah.
So that's where I started to think, but he was, I guess the Attitude Era he was a part of, but not in the mid-90s.
Yeah. I just thought it was really weird that, like, they've been really building up this idea that, like, Randy Orton beat up Jeff Hardy so badly inside Hell in a Cell. We haven't seen him for weeks on end. Who knows? You don't want to have a match with Randy Orton. You see what he did to Jeff Hardy? We haven't seen him forever. And then he was just here, like, absolutely fine. Not really. But they were kind of playing up that there was a bit of a character change for Jeff Hardy, saying that, like, because he was focusing on Samoa Joe's leg, the leg that had been injured, quote-unquote, during the match at Super Showdown with AJ Styles. And he was being almost vicious with the leg and vicious with attacks. And apparently he did a WWE.com interview. Again, I've not watched it because if it's not on TV, I'm not bothered. Where he was like, I really enjoyed targeting the leg. Mm. I really enjoyed focusing on that and inflicting that pain. So it's not a heel turn, but he's not the same guy here than the one that went inside Hell in a Cell with Randy Orton. Which most likely means they're going to become a tag team.
Who, Randy and
Randy
Jeff?
And Jeff.
We'll come on to Randy Orton tag teams. We'll come on to that. That's not the last time.
Nope.
You would have. That's going to be brought up. So Samoa Joe, they wrestle a. You know, they have a little brief start bit of a match, but then Samoa Joe's knee starts to give way as Jeff works it over. And of course, this is selling the Saturday show of Super Showdown where AJ took out his knee. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
I love selling injuries that happen.
Absolutely.
Like, not just 3 days ago. Sell injuries that happened weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not just like, we need... Okay, just we're going to hit you in the ribs a bit on Raw, and then you can sell that at the pay-per-view, and then we won't talk about it again. That's the extent of WWE's selling of injuries these days. So I really appreciated this. I hope that it carries on for a bit.
Yeah.
And it played in perfectly for the finish, where Joe is sort of walking, his knee gives way, and the referee calls off the match, awards it to Jeff Hardy.
What I loved about this, it does kind of protect Joe in the finish. You know, he was injured, quote unquote, at the show on Saturday, and Jeff was working over the leg. What I really loved about Joe's performance here is that the referee calls for the bell, but even after he's called for the bell, Joe is still trying to stand up. He's almost like scrambling to get back into this match and get the referee to reverse the bell call so he can carry on the match. I thought it was a really good performance by Joe. I really, really liked him here. But it was at this point, I mean, I figured that Hardy was winning regardless, but I've suddenly realised, and I should have realised it much sooner, that this World Cup tournament to determine the best in the world is not, it's there for the Crown Prince's enjoyment. It's not being used to create or elevate a new star, or so I'm really not asked about it now, and I'm really nonplussed, and I'm really not bothered.
Did you think it was going to be then?
Well, if you're going to do a tournament, at least have a purpose for it. Like, I know, I get that it's a glorified house show and it's being done to appease one person and they're being paid billions or whatever it is to do it. But I thought if you're going to do it, at least have a point to it.
But the greatest Royal Rumble happened.
I know. Learn from your mistakes. Like, everyone...
I know, to you.
I had no illusions of
anything other than this was just a... throwaway one night thing.
Yep, more for me. I completely get that. But at the same time, but like, at least on Raw, they've used it to further the storyline between Kurt Angle and Baron Corbin. At least in one aspect of it.
Here they used it to further Joe's injury.
Did they?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Got over that Joe's injured.
That didn't need to be part of the tournament, though, did it? Granted, I suppose that needs to be part of the tournament either. My other issue with that is it took up, you know, a bit more of the TV time. Like, we're now dedicating TV time to what is, as you've just pointed out, a pointless tournament with no outcome that we shouldn't be invested in.
But that's WWE TV a lot of the time. It's fascinating.
It's a waste of time.
It's fascinating to me that so much of WWE booking, more so now than previously in the year at Greatest Royal Rumble, is being influenced by one guy who hasn't watched wrestling for almost two decades, and this is the Crown Prince. Like, so many of these creative decisions, not business decisions, I guess they're business decisions by proxy, but so many of these creative decisions are being influenced by one guy with loads and loads of money.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah.
I don't know if it's a, like... Because you could say, well, that's a terrible thing, but then what if he had really good taste? Like, what if he said, turn Roman heel, bring CM Punk back, I've got all the money, do it. So, like, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, like, on paper, but it's bad in its execution.
Yeah, it's a pointless, redundant tournament, but unfortunately, it's, and I think we said this around Greatest Royal Rumble as well. Remember how, like, it just became sort of creatively stifled, and it almost felt like the company were like, right, we just got to get this out of the way. And that's now what we sort of feel like we're in again. That's just like, we just got to get through Crown Jewel and then we can just
move
past
that. I'm seeing it as the next
that.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. In my head, it's the next.
But you just said that this tournament is pointless, but we're still building towards it. So it's a redundant piece of television.
But so's King of the Ring. Like, anytime WWE
Yeah, but King of the Ring built to something. King of the Ring, you won. You got a title shot at the end of it. You were crowned King of the Ring. The King of the Ring was designed to elevate new stars, to create new stars. Kurt Angle became WWE champion off the back of winning the King of the Ring.
I would argue that is a very rose-tinted way of looking back at the King of the Ring tournament. It very rarely did that. And very rarely did WWE follow through on it.
Triple H, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Kurt Angle, Edge. Like, it built stars off the back of it.
But, like, not immediately. Like, they didn't... It was just a...
Kurt Angle.
It's that sort of thing where in a couple of years you go, oh, yeah, and they won King of the Ring. Isn't that really... What a big accolade. But actually, if you go back in the time, They didn't do anything with them for like 2-3 months.
I disagree.
No, WWE have no good at tournaments. So whenever they put on a tournament, I don't really care about it. And this is the same thing.
I will give you that later on in the King of the Ring lifestyle, when they basically just gave up on it and was like, well, this is a pointless endeavor.
I would say in the 90s as well.
Oh, no, I disagree in the 90s, but certainly... Yeah, but King Mabel, they were looking to make a star out of him. Like, they wanted him to be a star. It didn't work, and it didn't work with Ken Shamrock when he won it in 99, 98 either. But they intended for him to be a star. I think they intended to do the same thing with Billy Gunn when he won it in 99, but they couldn't follow up on the execution of it. But at least the intent was there. Later on, when like King Barrett won it and Sheamus won it, and the idea was then just like, oh, now you've got a king gimmick. Like, you win King of the Ring, you get a crown and you become a king gimmick. And that's when it starts to fall. That's when it
should be a crown prince. Well, should be crown prince of the ring.
Well, there you go. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a video package for Randy Orton showing footage from OVW and Evolution that really put over his championship accomplishments. Liked that. And they announced that Evolution will be at SmackDown 1000 next week.
Which will be interesting as well.
Which will be interesting. As I said, I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to handle the Randy Orton situation. Because actually, the Randy Orton we saw later in the show did not feel like the Randy Orton we've seen for the last sort of few months on this show. But anyway, next up, we got Miz TV with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan to build up their match at Crown Jewel for the WWE Championship.
This was one of those bits where Miz comes out and the commentators are like, hey, it's Miz. He's going to come down for Miz TV. AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan's going to be on. And then they go to break. And then they come back and it's the Paige segment where she announces Charlotte and Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back to Miz TV. Yeah. So it's a different way of formatting.
Absolutely, yeah.
But this was great. I really enjoyed this segment.
This was brilliant. And so Miz calls down AJ, and then he does this really, really great sort of half-assed introduction to Daniel Bryan. He's like, near he comes, and then we'll continue Daniel Bryan. It was really good. Because Miz had been told he's got to remain professional throughout this segment. He's been told that he can't get involved physically, and he's got to treat these two with respect and treat the segment with respect. But he was going to do that in the Miz style possible, which is to treat it like, you know, I'm being professional here, but I am going to say, I'm going to make a mockery at the same time. But this did lead to Daniel Bryan and AJ just making fun of the Miz at every possible opportunity, calling him the 2-minute man and things like that. And it was really funny. It was really nice banter between AJ and Bryan to make fun of the Miz. But crucially, it made the title match seem important because they were really building towards that. AJ wants to remain the face of this company, whereas Daniel Bryan was like, I came back because I wanted to follow my dream, but I've never really explained what that dream is. My dream wasn't facing Big Cass. It wasn't reuniting Team Hell No. It wasn't even facing this jerk, pointing at the Miz. It was to be the WWE champion. And I said this in the review, and I'd be curious if you agree, although I'm not, I mean, I imagine a few people don't, that I think this is the first time in a while that the WWE championship has felt like the important thing that people want to win.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a fair point, actually, because so much of AJ and Nakamura was based on Nakamura's heel turn.
Low blows.
So much of Joe versus AJ was based around Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is two guys who believe they are the best at wrestling trying to win the thing that says you're the best in wrestling without shenanigans.
Thumbs up to all of that. Lovely, lovely stuff.
And I must say, Brian's performance here was incredible.
So good.
He is so sincere. And I think it's because he is being sincere. He can't lie, this guy. So everything he says feels genuine. That's part of the reason everyone feels so emotionally connected to him. And he is an expert at putting over the opponent, but saying he's better than them. That, like, I love this Chris Jericho lesson in one of his books where he said that, like, one of the first promos he ever cut was calling out this wrestler for him being rubbish, like, you can't wrestle and I'm going to beat you. And then he walked away and thought, wait a second, if I beat him then I haven't proved anything to anyone because this guy's a rubbish wrestler. And if he beats me, I'm worse than that guy.
Yeah.
So the idea is, even if you're a heel, always put over your opponent, but just say you're better than them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to make your that the guy you're facing seem like a goof.
I think the classic example of that is Triple H Cactus Jack in the lead up to Royal Rumble 2000. All of Triple H's promos were just like, you are the most dangerous man in the ring. You are an, you know, always at every opportunity was just like, you're this, you're that, you're that, you're absolutely amazing. But I am going to beat you. I'm going to be better than you, and I'm going to win.
And that was the last time Triple H ever said anything nice about Mick Foley. And Brian had those great lines, you know, do you want to talk about our match, Miz? Won't take long.
Yep, lovely stuff.
AJ's stuff is stilted. Like, usually you don't notice it, but he was in there with The Miz and Brian, who were spectacular on the mic.
Absolutely, yeah. But then Miz got up, because they started poking fun at him again, and it was really great, because, like, Brian and AJ sort of stood up and they was, you know, had these little jives back and forth. And Miz said, finally, this is getting interesting. Which was a really great line, because Miz feels that these two are boring. Mm. Because he, in Miz's character, believes to be the best in wrestling is to be an entertainer, is to be really good on the mic. He is a WWE product, whereas these two guys are not. They're Ring of Honor, they're TNA, they're the indie product of, you know, you want to be the best at wrestling. So it creates this really nice dynamic. And then Miz just cuts this amazing promo where it's like, you didn't beat me at Super Showdown.
Yeah.
I had my shoulder up, so really I should be the number one contender. I went to Paige, but you're such a charity case that she wouldn't even let me have a rematch. Lovely little line. And then he points at AJ Styles and he says, you've made the most prestigious championship in this company irrelevant. I was like, you want to know why you have, like, the WWE Championship has not main evented a pay-per-view for months? You just got to look in the mirror. It was great, great stuff. I thought Miz was tremendous here.
Because Miz, like, hits, he's really good, just like Brian, of hitting those notes of truth too. So when he says, like, I beat you at SummerSlam, I beat you at Hell in a Cell, like, you only beat me with a, and then the one time you do beat me is with a small package.
With a fluke roll-up.
Yeah, like, what a rubbish victory that is. And now you're the one fighting. That should be my title shot. And then you've got Brian also saying that I loved it when he said, I did, like, my dream wasn't to reunite Team Hell No or go after this guy. Because you're like, that's what we've been saying.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really, really, really good. The only slight criticism I have is that,
where he comes negative, yeah, Nelly, yeah, over here.
It's just that,
always got something negative to say.
Well, it's just like, I keep coming back to it. The Miz and Brian is one of these all-time, should be one of these all-time classic blood feuds. And here they are sitting next to each other, not even separated in the ring, just doing light joshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
There was, and Miz, it says that he's next in line for the WWE Championship. Whoever wins at Crown Jewel, he's naming himself as the new number one contender. And he says he brings out Shelton's Benjamin for a match with AJ Styles, which was, it was a fine match, but really it was a backdrop to Miz and Bryan on commentary. Like, the match may as well not have been happening in the ring. But there was a really great bit on commentary where Miz says, look at him down the end there, he won with a fluky roll-up, and Bryan just goes, actually, it was a small package. if you knew wrestling moves, you'd know what that was.
Yeah, it was hard to go, like, Benjamin and AJ was fine. You know, that should be better, really, when you look at it on paper.
Yeah.
But Brian and Miz were so good on the commentary desk.
And you had Miz sat next to Corey Graves, and Corey Graves talking about how awesome the Miz is. Like, I completely agree with you. You did get your shoulder up. That was a great interview segment you just did then. You are must see.
Mm.
And then you had Byron Saxton on the other end going like, Daniel Bryan's the best. I think he's brilliant. Blah, 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 blah. And so it was, you had this really nice dichotomy of these two arguing with the babyface and heel commentator, adding fuel to that fire. And then Todd Phillips in the middle, you know, saying whatever it is that he says.
Still saying the name of Crown Jewel's global World Cup thing.
And then going, SmackDown rolls on, which is his other classic.
That used to be a Jerry Lawlerism. Raw rolls on! I used to, just every time, it makes my teeth clench.
But there was a nice spot there where AJ went to do a springboard and Shelton ran up and kneed him, like, right in the face, which was a really good spot. But in the end, AJ won with the phenomenal forearm.
Written, oh yeah, I forgot there was a match going on with all the commentary.
Yeah, there was a nice line from Corey where he says, don't worry, Miz, I've heard that 2 minutes is above the national average. Great line, Corey.
And then we got the Aiden English and Rusev Day stuff.
Well, we got a video package for the Big Show first.
Did we?
Because Big Show's
coming. I stopped writing down all the video packages. There were a lot.
Yeah, we got.
But that's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
I did enjoy them.
Yeah, and again, this kind of put him over as like he's the best giant in the business, the only man to win the WCW, ECW, and WWE championships. I thought that was, you know, that's a good line. You know, and it puts over the Big Show. And really, like, these video packages are meant to make you go, man, I can't wait to see these two collide in the ring later on.
When they played that video package, I had let the Big Show go because, you know, it seemed like his career was over last November when he had the, I believe it was a hip surgery. It was some kind of surgery. And it seemed like he was winding down.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to get the match with Shaq.
Next year marks the 20th anniversary of Big Show joining the WWF or WWE. And he made his debut in like 95, you know, when he was the Giant. So we've had a long run of Paul White. We've had a long run of the Big Show. So like you, I think I was ready to let him go.
But seeing the video package and the main event, I was just like, good grief, I love this guy. Like, I thought the absence
was
really...
The match?
Well, you know, it was... I don't care about the match. Like,
okay.
Sometimes... This was sports entertainment, and you don't need a good wrestling match for it. You just need someone who's really physically impressive. And Big Show's that kind of guy who's great on the mic. He's so physically impressive, like, just in stature, that... If just use him right. You could. There's a way to use him to get over younger guys now, and... not exploit how slow he is in the ring. But yes, I thought it was good. And then we got the Aiden English stuff, and then we got Rey Mysterio as a hype package.
Yep, another all-time great from Todd Phillips.
He'll be facing Nakamura next week for the Crown Jewel World Cup spot.
To determine who's the best in the world.
So Nakamura's losing that.
100%. There's no way that Rey's coming back losing his first match. Considering that, they're trying to make this feel as much like 2005 as possible. Reg is definitely winning this.
That's crazy. Like, Nakamura, he wins the United States title at SummerSlam. He's done nothing. Was it there or was it surely before?
I think it was SummerSlam. Okay. Oh, it might have been before. I can't even... Well, that's the point. I can't even remember.
He was defending his title at
That
SummerSlam.
Might be right, yeah.
But yeah, he's done nothing.
Absolutely
He was
nothing.
Always a backdrop to Hardy and Orton.
Yeah.
But yeah, a real waste of Nakamura. It's not like he wasn't good. He was fantastic. He was one of the best acts on SmackDown.
Yep, but...
It's not like a Ty Dillinger where they never had any plans for him. They made him the United States champion!
And he hasn't had a feud since winning that belt. And now he's had that belt now for months. And they've done absolutely nout with him. Like, what was the point in giving him the belt?
Yeah.
What was the point?
They might have had a plan and it was dropped. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, real waste of Nakamura.
Real waste.
It really looks like he's losing next week, going by the tone they're setting for this match. So, yeah. And then we got the main event of Randy Orton versus The Big Show.
God, this was a boring match.
I only went 5-6 minutes.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's why I find this match sort of... Not find it so offensive, but why I find it really boring is it was the main event of this show. If this had been the opener, fine. If you'd have ended this show with the Becky Charlottes, like the half hour, and you did that big closing angle at the end of the show, I think I'd have been so much higher on this show than I was in the review, which I gave, you know, 3 out of 5. I thought it was a perfectly fine show. It was an average show. But this felt like such a damp ending. A really, really damp ending to what had been a perfectly fine show. Like, these two just went in there, had the most basic of basic matches. Like, it was less than house show levels of basic. And Randy won, and they were like, and that's SmackDown for this week. Yeah, play me off. And I was like, cool. Like, I was waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, especially when Evolution is the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You could have Charlotte and Becky Lynch as the main event.
And yeah, that big closing angle. You'd have had this big closing angle of them, like, destroying the set and things like that. That'd have been brilliant.
I did like the fact...
Before everyone comments, you go like, well, Charlotte had to have the match at Mixed Match Challenge. Then don't have that match this week.
Yeah.
Then just move that match to next week.
I did like the fact that the LED screen was broken through the rest of the episode. But that's the only positive I can see. You know, adds to that chaotic atmosphere. So I enjoyed seeing Big Show back. I like him. He's good in a limited role. It's just like not when he's pushed as this main eventer going for the title like Kane was when he came back. So... What happened to me is maybe this is why I found so much fun in the match and I liked it, is because I started thinking about something that could happen.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, I was watching them.
Is this like when we went to go watch Star Trek Into Darkness and you, you said on our podcast review, I didn't like the film, but then I start to enjoy it because I was making up a much better film in my head.
Yeah.
So is that what's happened here? This was a really boring match, but you made a really more you made a much more interesting match in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
So now on your podcast review, you're like, it's actually really good.
Well, yeah, you make your own fun sometimes. And so what, RK's show.
You want to sort of add to the Big Show lineage of like teaming with guys and then, you know, Jerry Show, but Show Miz.
Here's my story, right? So earlier in
you did go into this, didn't you?
Earlier in the night, you have Big Show sort of talking to Ty Dillinger. I'm going to get him back for you, Randy Orton.
Finally, a decent impression
for I'm going to get Randy Orton for you, Ty. And then maybe some other people like Jeff Hardy. So a few people like Ty Dillinger, like R-Truth. Others like that, lower mid to undercard, they come down in Big Show's corner because Randy Orton's just been, like, you know, beating them all up. And Randy and Big Show have this sort of stare off for a while. And then Big Show attacks all the youngsters.
Yeah.
And you have, like what Progress had in this grizzled vets.
Yeah, young grizzled veterans.
This faction.
Grizzled young veterans.
Yeah, and... yeah, you just have Randy Orton and Big Show. Like, Big Show doesn't have to... That's a perfect use of Big Show at this stage in his career. A monster heel muscle who doesn't have to wrestle any matches. He just has to beat people up on the outside or backstage.
It's just your heater.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the RK's show. Bitter Legends faction.
Yeah.
Killing all the other legends and the young up-and-comers.
But that really goes against what the point of this show was, which is just like, let's make it feel as old as we possibly can.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out why they put it in the main event.
Because I don't... Well, that's it. Like, if this had opened the show, I think I'd have had a different opinion on SmackDown. But to main event, it was a real wet fart of an ending.
There was a You Still Got It chant for Big Show.
Yeah.
He's got height. Orton kicks out of a choke slam, which I thought was a good near fall. I enjoyed the Big Show... getting DDT'd off the top rope, actually, that draping DDT that Randy hits. Show reverses. Orton set up the punt at one point. Show turned it into a really weak spear. But the finish comes when Orton thumbs Big Show in the eye, which the ref couldn't see, and hits, like, a Tama Tonga level
RKO
where he gets a little pop of air
off
the initial jump when he touches
Well, he's got to. He's so tall. He's got to get that extra little, like, he's got to double jump it.
So I thought that was a great RKO. And interestingly, the first RKO since Randy's returned. Now, you can look at this two ways. You can say, oh, Big Show really took Randy to his limit. He showed that bully what's what. So Randy had to bring out the RKO. I don't buy that. I think this was a directive from above saying, yeah, you need to play the hits for the Saudi Arabia tour.
Yeah.
So, and I think the Crown Prince is going to watch this episode because it's got the Crown Jewel qualifying matches.
The World Cup, yeah.
Which is why we need to...
determine the best in the world.
Yeah, which is why we need to put you in the main event and why Big Show's here.
Yeah.
Hi, how's it going, Paul?
Hi. I'm going to have a good match tonight.
Yeah. Guys, I know you're really sick and tired of playing into Sandman, but the Crown Prince is coming here, so if you could just play that one, maybe even a couple of times, that'd be really nice.
That would be a Metallica reference.
It would be a Metallica
reference. I don't think you introduced a Metallica reference. I was confused about what you were saying for a moment there. I was like, ECW? Anyway, yeah, so I would agree with you on the solid rating. But just, yeah, a simple switch of that opening match to the main event could have turned this into slightly higher, just on how you leave them, folks.
I'm a little bit, SmackDown 1000 is going to be a fun nostalgia show next week.
Doesn't feel like it's going to be on continuity.
Oh, no, it totally won't be.
I think it's
going
to be a Raw 25
celebration. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it's going to be. I'd imagine, you know how we said, oh, I wonder how Randy's going to be with Evolution. He'll probably be like Randy Orton was in 2003 when he first joined Evolution, and they'll just pretend that none of this has really happened.
Get the quiff back.
Yeah,
because maybe that's why he's been growing his hair out.
Because, none of this really matters. It'll be a fun nostalgia show next week. Although I said that about Raw 25, and that ended up being a bit pants. But it's a two-hour show, which means it's more condensed. It's going to be a busy old two-hour show because they've got a lot of names to get on there. But I'm slightly concerned for SmackDown, you know, if only because if we are going to be in this sort of period now where we've got to build to Crown Jewel and appease one person who's got all the money, and we have to put on shows like this, which is just like, hey, you remember all those guys from 13 years ago who are now maining eventing the show and all that other stuff, the stuff that these guys who are actually going to be sort of like carrying this company for the next couple of years, ignore them, they don't matter. But because really it's the guys from years ago that are the ones you want to focus on, and that evolution thing, we'll do that right at the start, then you can forget about it, and then we'll focus on all these old guys from 13 years ago.
So I yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
But it's more depressing than that, because the future of the company that WWE is built, that WWE is ignoring, are actually all from 13 years ago too.
It's actually very true.
AJ,
yeah.
Joe, Brian.
Yeah.
Like these guys are not young 20-year-olds. But they're all in NXT.
At least they feel new in WWE.
Well, yeah,
though.
But in terms of like actually carrying the company, they physically won't be able to in a couple of years.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Like, AJ's 42, going on 43, I think. He wants to retire soon, he said.
Yeah, he's got another couple of years in him, is what he's saying, yeah.
So
you're absolutely right.
Oh, isn't that depressing and sobering to end on?
I'm going to kick off with some Poetry Corner.
Lovely.
You may remember this one. This is from Nikki the Postie, who sent us a poem about Belt. Remember, this was part one.
Oh, yeah,
two.
That was a long one.
And
yeah,
you were still
good, but good.
You were a little concerned that they might do the whole history of the Belt, but fortunately enough, they ended at a point and have split it into two parts. So we join the poem with the Heartbreak Kids. We're at Shawn Michaels around this point.
It's still a long way to go.
I'm just looking at who the next thing is. Actually, no, even then, this only really takes us to 2001, I would say.
Okay, that's not too bad. So in decades.
Yeah.
Roughly.
So after a little while, I just wanted rid. As I found out, they'd called him the Heartbreak Kid. He abused me, he used me, he treated me like dirt. I needed a new man, so with Stunning Steve, I would flirt. Back and forth we went, and one thing led to another. Then, on the grandest stage of all, we became lovers. His scary friend Tyson helped us on the same page. Then me and Steve went on to take center stage. I did have one night of regret with a big red freak, but me and Steve were stronger than ever by the end of the week. Then chaos ensued. I was alone and in shock. Before I knew what had happened, I was back with The Rock. He was handsome, so cool, like no one I'd ever seen. Although I still loved Austin, I was living the dream. We were riding so high, I thought it would never end. But then I ended up sleeping with his fat, crazy friend. For months, I bounced back from forth, from Rock to Mick. I bounced so much between them, it made me feel sick. I couldn't have them both, so I decided to leave. Before I knew what had hit me, I was back in the arms of Steve. We were perfect for each other, and everything seemed to click. Until I spoilt it by again sleeping with Taker and old Saint Mick. Steve did forgive me and did welcome me back. Then I was ambushed by Hunter with a relentless attack. He did this for years and always against my will. Over the next 2 decades, I would get more than my fill. He was paranoid, possessive, and held me way too tight. Then I found had pointless flings with Mr. McMahon and Mr. White. Anything to get away. And how I feel, I felt once more. Then I was saved as Rocky kicked in my bedroom door. It was fun while it lasted, but it didn't take long, especially when my head was turned by sexy Olympic gold. Although it was unexpected, it definitely didn't feel wrong. It was great while it lasted, although it wasn't long. I went with Rock, then Steve, then straight back to Kurt. I wasn't with anyone too long, so I could never get hurt. I was no one's exclusively. This seemed to be the way. I was cheap. I was easy. Until I became undisputed with Y2J. We got on, but it was never like it was with the greats. So I just went back to my old flames on a lot of random dates. From Hunter to Hulk, from Rocky to even Taker. I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel these in my heart. I couldn't be a faker. These were all legends. They were all great in the ring. But I needed something different. I needed the next big thing.
Oh, that's good.
And they've ended here saying, like, man, there were a lot of title changes in 4 years.
I was going to say, like, when you said that sort of stretch of time, I thought, oh, that's a shorter stretch of time than since the 3 decades that covered in the first one. But then I thought, no, wait, it was the Attitude Era. Like, they just hot potatoed that thing around.
Bro, it doesn't matter who's the champ, who has the belt, just change it and they will watch.
It's interesting to look at the Attitude Era through a personified championship belt's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, quite fitting for the Attitude Era.
Mm.
got around.
It did get around.
It got close to a lot of penises.
We've had some terrific Poetry Corner submissions on this show, but I think Belt is my current favourite. It's a lot of fun. Although I obviously really love all the heartfelt ones that we've had that have like been really nice and serious. But there's something quite fun and jovial, and it's fun to read.
Mm. Yeah, this one's good. It's and because it's coming in stages, it makes it feel very epic.
It doesn't.
Like the Iliad or Homer's Odyssey.
You ever seen the film The Boy Next Door, the erotic thriller with Jennifer Lopez?
No, I haven't. But it comes up way too much in conversation with
it's
you.
Because it's a terrific film. There is a moment, I think I've told you this before, where the boy next door buys her an original copy of the Iliad as like a gift, and she's like, oh my god, it's an original pressing. And I'm like, mate, no it's not, absolutely no it's not, what are you talking about?
That's a Blumhouse movie, isn't it?
Is it Blumhouse?
I swear, it might be. I listened to a really interesting podcast about Jason Blum, and
one of the greatest producers in the world.
Yeah, and he,
a fascinating man. You and I like worship the ground he walked on for a little while on our movie podcast.
Still do. And yeah, that was one of the, like, that was, he sort of branched out into something else rather than horror, although there are horror elements to it.
Mm.
And yet it was really designed to appeal to that specific demographic in the audience, which turns out includes you.
Absolutely, it does. This comes in from David. Hendrix is God McKenzie, one of our best pledge hammers. I don't want to say best, obviously, because that makes it sound like we rank them.
He's in the conversation.
Which, of course,
though,
we don't. We sort of do. Hello, lads. You'll like this. So my creator wrestler on WrestleMania 2000 was quite embarrassing, as me and my friends would meet up most days after school to play it. Hey, man, there's nothing embarrassing about that. We all did it. We had a create a wrestler, and mine was a technical guy decked out in black robes and a hood. I called him the Grim Reaper, or so I thought, being dyslexic.
Technical guy.
But being dyslexic, the actual name was the Grim. I could see where this is going.
It's a spelling mistake. We can read it out.
The Grim Reaper, which is entirely a different thing. That's also from the Brian and Vinny show. Granny said that. The Grim Reaper. Which is entirely a different thing. Being that I was quite good at the game, always champion and a bad winner, my friends didn't tell me, and it took me at least 6 months to work out my spelling mistake. Would you also like some bad jokes?
Yes. Have people sent them in?
Well, this is the same email. This is David McKenzie. So we'll actually use this to wrap up this episode.
Okay.
They're all based around cheese. So see if you can guess the punchlines.
I mean, why?
What do you mean?
Has anything happened in wrestling recently that's cheese related?
No, it's just cheese jokes are always great.
Okay, fair enough. Wait a second. Was that a pun?
Oh, great. Yes.
That
was totally on purpose. How do the Welsh handle their cheese? Carefully. Carefully. What does a cheese say when it looks in the mirror? Halloumi. Halloumi. I know you don't want to laugh. What kind of cheese can you hide a horse in?
Oh, I know this one.
Do you want to get, what is it?
Mascarpone.
Mascarpone. What cheese do you use to tempt a bear out of the woods?
Come on, bear.
And last one. What kind of music does cheese like? R&B. Like the cheese.
Like the Bella,
exactly. So thank you very much, David. I very much enjoyed every single one of those jokes. I thought they were all tremendous.
Yeah.
But that is all we've got time for. Myself and Fake Door will be back tomorrow with more of your emails, your Rusev days, your Agony Arts requests, and your bad jokes if you've got to send them across. I know that Fake Door loves a bad joke, because we're going to be doing the NXT review that I mentioned earlier. But thank you for listening. Take care. Have a good day. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.